We're in the middle of Likutei Moran, Torah Lamed. We're up to paragraph Ches, towards the end of this Torah. Rabbein Ezal started off in this chapter talking about how it's impossible for a person to get to Hasoga Selukus, a very deep understanding about Hashem, unless a person has Tzimtzumim Rabim, tremendous constrictions. And Rabbein Ezal used the term Chochma Tato, that a person has to have a certain type of a Chochma Tato, through which they're able to receive and understand Hasoga Selukus. And in order for a person to get to that, Rabbein Ezal said, the person has to seek out a Malamed Hogun, a very, very great Rebbe, who's great enough to be able to take Hasoga Selukus, this deep, infinite wisdom, and bring it down to a level that a person could benefit from it, could use it. Rabbein Ezal gave several examples of this Chochmat HaTor, this Tzimtzum, hair. Rabbein Ezal spoke about Avraham Avinu, who was an example of such a tzaddik. The fact that he was Mekarev, so many people, showed obviously that he had this ability of taking Hasoga Selukus and bringing it down to Chochmat HaTor. And then Rabbein Ezal said, a person who has this Chochmat HaTor, the only way to get to it is through Soinei Botza. A person has to be very honest in terms of not wanting what belongs to somebody else at all, or not wanting what's not theirs at all, to have overcome the Taivas Momoin completely. Then Rabbein Ezal mentioned that this Chochmat HaTor, a person has to see to it to draw light into it, light that comes from the Oyer Haponim, Kaviyochel, from the face of Hashem. And Rabbein Ezal said that the most opportune time for this is the holidays, the Sholesh Regolim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, is a time when this Oyer Haponim shines brightly, and it nourishes this Chochmat HaTor. Then Rabbein Ezal said that this Chochmat HaTor, which is also synonymous with Malchus, is in danger of falling into the hands of the Sitra Achra, into the hands of the Tumah, the kings of Tumah. And a person has to have the ability, when that happens, to cut it away, to slice away and separate the Malchus Digdusha from the Klipos, the Tumah, the four Golias that it gets, that it falls into at times. And the way to do that, Rabbein Ezal said, was through Chesed. He quoted Psukim that showed Kitzru Levi Chesed, you cut according to Chesed. And then in the final paragraph that we just learned, Rabbein Ezal said that one of the most outstanding revelations of Chesed is the Toichocha that comes from the true Moichiach. When a true Tzaddik gives Toichocha, that's a spectacular presentation of Chesed. Rabbein Ezal quoted the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yahalmeini Tzaddik Chesed V'yoichicheni. A Tzaddik strikes me with his kindness and reprimands me. And Rabbein Ezal went on to explain very well how that is the case, why that's Chesed. And he also stressed that it's up to us to judge tzaddikim lekav schus in this item, that when a person is reprimanded by a tzaddik, and sometimes the reprimand comes in a form that's insulting or embarrassing, a person must judge the tzaddik lekav schus, because the Gemara makes a statement, ein otom nitpas al tzaroi, that when somebody's in pain and they say something nasty, you can't hold them responsible. They're not doing something wrong when they say something nasty in a state of pain, tremendous pain. And Rabbein Ezal explained that tzaddikim suffer tremendous pain from us. Our tefillos, our good, our mitzvos are painful to them. When we submit our tefillos to a tzaddik for him to do with it what he needs to do with it, Rabbein Ezal showed how the tefillos come with a lot of mush, a lot of mud, machshavos zoros, tohola, confusion, and the tzaddik receiving this suffers from it. So if he reprimands us in an insulting way, it's justifiable to a degree because of the suffering that the tzaddik receives from us.
On the same token, the person is not held responsible in his tzar, and a person, although we know that a person is supposed to be quiet and listen to his to be embarrassed. At the same time, when a person is embarrassed, he's also in pain. And Chalila, he can also strike out at the tzaddik, Chalila.
True to a degree. That's why we're being warned here. That's why we're being taught that you should know, don't misunderstand. When a tzaddik is reprimanding you, that's not din, that's chesed, number one. If it could look to you, if the satan could twist your mind and twist your eyes and ears, that you should hear it in a negative way, in a hurtful way, you're wrong. Don't be misguided. Don't misunderstand it, because it's really chesed. Number one. And number two, also it's justifiable based on this second issue. That's why we're being given this instruction, that we should understand the background information better. Okay. And this is where we're up to. We're up to the beginning of paragraph Ches. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Omnom, however, lichoira, eich efshar loy loichiach es kol echod viechod. How is it possible for a tzaddik to reprimand each and every single individual one, let's say of his own students even, or certainly of Am Yisrael? Haloi kol hatfilois boim etzloi biyachad. We said that the tzaddik, all the tefillos that come from all the Jews are submitted to the tzaddik, and he builds something special out of it. All of these tefillos coming to the tzaddik, how is he in a position to be able to detect from the tefillos alone who's who? Whom he has to reprimand and to what degree to reprimand? Rabbi Nizal says, all the tefillos come together, the tefillos of the ksherim and the tefillos of the people that are enum ksherim. How does the tzaddik know? Do the tefillos have labels on them? This one is this person's, this one is that person's. For the tzaddik to be able to know from the tefillah alone who to reprimand, who needs reprimand, who doesn't need reprimand, and to what extent? This is the question that Rabbi Nizal asks. And he answers, "Ach, hu yodei azois al yodei ho'azus v'hatoiro shel kol echod v'echod." You want to know how how the tzaddik knows to reprimand? It's not based on the tefillah as much as it's based on the azus and the Torah. Azus means the chutzpah that the person has, chutzpah or toughness, as we'll see soon, both in a constructive way and in a destructive way. And from the Torah, the person. From those two items of a Jew, the tzaddik knows how to reprimand him. Rabbi Nizal explains, through that, the tzaddik knows, im tfilo soyhoysa kohoigen im lav, whether the person's tfilo was good or no good. The tzaddik knows it from the person's azus and tfilo. Kiesh beis mine azus, because there are two types of azus. Kiyesh azus digdusha, there is something that's called a holy azus, a holy chutzpah, a holy strength, a holy gutsiness. She'i efsher lekabelas hatoyro kiim al yidei zeho azus digdusha, whereby it's impossible for a Jew to receive Torah and to be attached to Torah unless they possess that azus, unless they have that chutzpah, that toughness, that strength. Ukamay Shamra Azal, as the Gemara says, Mipnei ma nitna Torah liYisrael, Mipnei she'azenhein. Why was the Torah given to the Jewish people? Because they're tough. Because they have chutzpah, because they're tough, that's why they needed the Torah more than anything else. The Torah is supposed to calm them down, etc. But we see that when the decision was made who to give the Torah, based on what it does, its clientele is chutzpah. People with chutzpah, people with azus, those are the ones who are best suited to receive the Torah. So we see that a prerequisite for receiving the Torah is azus. Ubishvil ze, ukamay shekosov, and as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, hevi az kanomer, that a Jew is required to be tough and have the gutsiness of a leopard. Ubishvil ze hatoyra nikras oiz, and it's for this reason that one of the names of the Torah is oiz, strength. Miloshen azus. Ukamay shekosov, as the pasuk says, Hashem oiz la'amo yitain. Hashem gives strength to his people. What is that strength? The Torah. The Torah is called oiz. Ki I efsher lovoy el haTorah kiim al yidei azus digdusha. Rabbi Nizal stresses it's impossible for a person to come to Torah without azus digdusha. Just as the Gemara says, veloy habayshan, in other words, one example of this is the concept of veloy habayshan lomed, that when it comes to true success in learning doesn't just come from listening to a shiur. Because when people listen to a shiur, number one, people hear different things. And number two, people, based on what they hear, if they're really concentrated and thinking, it's supposed to trigger off certain questions. Or they don't necessarily understand everything on the first shot. Which means that if a person is just going for the surface, just to understand things in a very general way, fine. They'll be satisfied with that. But if a person really wants to be connected to Torah, it's going to take an azus, a strength, and a gutsiness to ask questions. Because when a person asks questions, for starters, not all questions are smart questions. People inevitably ask dumb questions or a dumb question. And when that happens, the person is either embarrassed, either by their friends or by the rabbi or from themselves alone. When the person realizes that they ask something silly, the person feels embarrassment. So a person who's not willing to go that has to know that they're compromising. They're settling for a minimal level of success in Torah, in Yiddishkeit, in closeness to Hashem. Whereas if a person really wants the whole thing, they want the whole package, it requires this chutzpah, it requires this azus, that I'm not going to be a baby, so what, embarrassed? If it takes a little bit embarrassment to get ahead and to understand more, if in order to get three questions answered, three good questions answered, I have to ask 10 questions, it's worth it, no question. It's definitely worth it to me to fail 7 times in order to succeed 3 times. Just as the Gemara makes a statement, Toiv ma'at bekavona mehar be shaloi bekavona, that when it comes to davening, it's better for a person to daven less with more kavona than a lot with less kavona. So I once heard from one of the tzaddikim that they said, Toiv ma'at bekavona mehar be shaloi bekavona. You want to know how a person gets to daven a little bit of real good tefillah? From a lot of messed up tefillah. If a person davens 100 tefillahs, 3 of them are going to score. 3 of them are going to be good. And if you don't daven 100, if you daven 30 tefillahs, you might not get any good ones yet, or that kind of thing. So here also, when it comes to Torah, true success in Torah, it takes an azus, a chutzpah, to chase after it. Not to take a laid-back attitude, a relaxed attitude when it comes to Torah religion. It takes a chutzpah of a person really, an aggressiveness, a wanting to get ahead, a wanting not to settle for less, etc. This is all that Rabbeinu Zal is referring here, and giving it this title, Azus Dikdusha. And the Shulchan Aruch begins with this. One of the opening words of the Shulchan Aruch is, this Mishnah, Hevi Gibor Kari Rotz Katzvi Az Kanomer Lasis Ritzon Avicha Shebashamayim. Also, we have the issue of people making fun. One of the most normal things that a religious Jew has to expect to experience is being laughed at, or made fun of, or insulted in all kinds of different ways for their religion, for their Hashem, for their belief in the Torah, for their belief in tzaddikim. And people who can handle that, people who aren't interested in getting scratched and bleeding and dirty, all the shame and embarrassment and insult, for them, the Torah isn't really for them. The true success in Torah isn't really available to them. Because the Torah says that in order to have the real success in Torah, it's going to take chutzpah. It's going to take being able to stand up, be insulted, and not walk out, not quit as a result of the insult. Not to be able to take the heat, at whatever extent and different variations that it comes. And Rabbeinu Zal says, note this wording, ki efsher. Rabbeinu Zal says, impossible. This is non-negotiable. It's impossible to get to Torah without Azus. And we had in a previous chapter on Likud Imran, Torah Chav Beis, where Rabbeinu Zal stressed it's impossible to get to Tzadikim without Azus. Because Hashem and the Sotan put up a lot of walls blocking people from getting to tzaddikim, to weed out the insincere, those who aren't really sincere, those who aren't really deserving. And unless a person has a lot of energy and a lot of chutzpah and a lot of determination, a person will quit before it's the right time, before they get to where they're supposed to. Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk, Nehalta v'ozcha el neve kodshecha, that with oiz, a person gets to neve kodshecha, to the center of holiness, which is tzaddikim. And again, a person who's weak, a person who's cool, not on fire, not the fiery chassidisha, but just cool, taking a cool attitude towards religion, Rabbeinu Zal says that person, it's impossible for them to be able to get to Torah. And in opposition to this, Corresponding to this, there is chutzpah from the side of the Satan. Shemishom boin toirois acheros. From there come other toirois. Not the real Torah, the other toirois. Shehem toirois shelohen, which is the Torah of the Satan, the Torah of klipois. Shehem bechinas psilim, which is like idols. Because the same Gemara that says that you can't get to Torah without Azus, the same Gemara says that a person who has Azus, it's a sign that he was never at Mount Sinai. Make up your mind, which is it? Can't get to Torah without Azus, and if I have Azus, I was never at Mount Sinai. Which is it? It's both. There's two kinds of Azus. One, if you have it, it implies that you're the furthest thing imaginable from Torah. The other one, if you don't have it, you're the furthest thing imaginable from Torah. And there's a very, very delicate, fine line between the two. Rav Nosson Salon Likutei Halachos writes that this was the avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where he took two goats, shtei izim, an az is a goat, and the two goats had to be perfectly identical, height, size, color, the works. One was Soir Lazozel, one went to the Satan, and the other one was Kodesh Lashem. The other one was a Korban brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, brought in the Hechal, in the very holy places, as a Kapora for Bnei Yisrael. These two represent these two types of Azus, which are sorted out by Hashem. How did they choose? How did they determine which one was the Kodesh Lashem? Was it done with any Sechel? No. It was done by Hashem, by Goral, by lottery. Meaning that for a person to attempt with intellect alone, brains alone, to figure out what's Azus Dikdusha, what's Azus the Sitrachra, most people will get it wrong. They'll make mistakes. Because it's so deep, it's so delicate a boundary between the two that it's very easy to make a mistake. It takes tremendous siyata d'shmai. It takes tremendous begging Hashem to be zecha to have Azus Dikdusha and to be a billion miles away from Azus the Sitrachra.
If the two were identical, then what would be the point as far as which one went to Hashem, which one went out? If they're identical in every single way, then...
On the surface, to the human eye. Just like the Mishnah asks in Perkei Avos, Ma bein talmidov shel Bilam le talmidov shel Avram? What's the difference between the students of Avram? How do you even mention them in the same book? Not in the same sentence. How do you mention Avram Avinu in the same Gemara as Bilam? The Gemara is asking a question. How do you distinguish between the students of Bilam? Ridiculous. The answer is, there's a possibility for a student of Bilam to look on the surface exactly like a student of Avram Avinu. And it takes an expert set of eyes to be able to see beneath the surface and to see that this is a Bilam and this is an Avraham. And they're as opposite as night and day. We mentioned it in the Shabbos here, this Shabbos, half jokingly, half seriously, that the angel who came to battle with Yaakov Avinu, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. One rabbi says he appeared as a goy, the other rabbi says he appeared as a Talmud Chacham. What do you mean? A Talmud Chacham and a goy look so similar that this is the... The answer is, Rachmona Litzlan, again, this Azus and Azus, that there exists certain items which in Kedusha, it's the most beautiful item imaginable, and in Tumah, it's the worst, worst thing imaginable. This item, chutzpah, when used properly and when learned, you can't do without it. You can't really succeed without it. And Chas v'Shalom, the wrong kind of chutzpah, a droplet of it, a microscopic droplet of it, and the person's dead, Chas v'Shalom. So now Rabbi Nizal says that these people who have the Azus de Sitrachra, the Yeshloi Torah Mea Sitrachra, they have Torah from the Soton Hanikra Psilim. Their Torah is called Psilim, which means like idol worship, waste matter. Shehu Hepech Min HaTorah HaKdoshah Shelanu, which is the opposite of our Torah. Shehu Bechinas Psol Lecho. When Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to write the Luchos, he said to him, Psol Lecho Shnei Luchos Avonim. Carve out for yourself two tablets. So the question is, why? So the Gemara says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaPsoiles Yishelcha. The Psoiles should be to you. And there's all kinds of explanations what that means. Rabbeinu Zal says, Kihi Nikras Psoiles Al Shem Ho'osid. Our Torah the Torah that good Jews study in this world is called psoilus, waste. Compared to what? Relative to what? Al shem ha'osid. Compared to the future, meaning, k'maymar chazal, as the Gemara says in Psochim, oyer shehu yokor bo'ilam hazeh, yekofui v'kal lo'ilam haba. A light which is treasured in this world, it's considered a bright light in this world. In the next world, it's going to be considered like zero, like nothing. So in this manner, the Torah that we study in this world today is given a nickname, psoilus, like waste, cheap nothing, compared to the Torah of the future, when Jews' minds are going to be opened up so much more to understand much, much greater depth and brightness. Whereas, Val Shem Zeh Nikroim Psilim. I'm sorry, Avol Toirosoi. Whereas, the Torah of these people who have the Azus, the Sitrachra, the wrong kind of Azus, their Torah, he Psoiles Afilo Boilam Hazeh. Their Torah is not just going to become Psoiles in the future. It's Psoiles today. In other words, we say that the Torah that we learn, when we'll see the Torah of the future, we'll know that our Torah was Psoiles. But their Torah, the Torah that comes from Azus the Sitrachra, that's real psoilus, real garbage. Rabbi Nezal says, Val Shem Zeh Nikroim Psilim. And this is why the other side is called Psilim. Kemay Shekosav, as the Pasuk says, Lo Yisas Elecho Pesel. Do not make for yourself idols. And the word for idol is Pesel, Miloshim Psoilus. Umi Sheyesh Loi Azus Shelohen Min HaSitrachra, a person who possesses that type of wrong Azus, who mekabel Torah Shelohem, Bechinas Psilim. Then again, if we say that Azus is the key to Torah, right. Everybody that has Azus gets Torah. One person gets Torah A, and one person gets Torah Z. Lahavdil. One person gets a Torah of Kedusha, and the other person also gets Torah. They get Torah from the Sitrachra. So that the person could be fooled into thinking that they were successful. They didn't do anything wrong. They also fought to get to the top. They had chutzpah, this, that, but they had the wrong kind of chutzpah, so they ended up with the wrong kind of Torah. There are these two Torahs, Rachmono Litzlun. Valyidei ho'azus, shehat tzadik roye b'chol echad v'echad, kefi ma shehu. Now, when the tzaddik examines people, and he sees the azus of each person according to where they're at, im yesh loy azus digdusha oy lehepech, and he sees in each person whether the person has azus of kedusha, or chas v'shom, the opposite azus of the sitrachra, al yidei zeh hu yodeya im tfilo soyhoiso ha-tfilo ha-ksher oy lehepech. That's how the tzaddik knows whether this person's tefillah was a good tefillah or the opposite. Ki gam ha-tefillah hi al yidei azus. Because Rabbein Azal says the whole concept of a Jew praying to Hashem also depends on chutzpah. It also takes guts and chutzpah to daven to Hashem. Ki I efshar lamoid lehispalel lefnei Hashem yisporach ki im al yidei azus. Because it's impossible for a Jew to daven to Hashem without azus. Ki kol echod lefumande meshar b'libay es gedolas habay yisporach shmoy. Because each and every Jew, according to the level that they perceive the greatness of Hashem, Kol chad, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, noida basheorim balo, that kaviyochol, the husband of the Jews, which is Hashem, is known inside the gates. Meaning, the Zohar HaKadosh says, kol chad lefumanda meshar balibe, each and every person, according to the degree that they evaluate to be meshar, here means to comprehend or to understand Hashem, to that degree, Rabbein Azal says, to that degree, kol echod lefi erkoi shemeshar b'libo yizkidlas habo yizboroshmoi, each and every person to the degree that they recognize the greatness of Hashem, eich efsherloi lamoid ulispal lefonov. How in the world could a Jew dream of getting up to daven to Hashem? If a person recognizes the greatness of Hashem and the opposite of themselves, where in the world do I come off to dare to speak to Hashem? We know that when a person, lahavdil, if a Jew walked into the room and they said that Einstein was in the room, most normal people would be embarrassed to go over to him and start talking to him. What am I going to say? What's the talk about the weather? And even if I talk about what I consider to be intelligent, relative to him, I'll sound like a monkey's uncle. Because he's such a big brain. He's so intelligent and so bright. The smartest thing that I could say will sound stupider and dumber to him than anything I could ever imagine. If that's how a person could feel related to an intelligent human being, try to imagine what this appears to Hashem. Picture how foolish and silly and ridiculous we appear davening to Hashem, talking to Hashem. Picture what kind of gibberish and blub it sounds like, you know, us speaking to Hashem. Ubifrat hatfila, and especially tfila shehi plois, which is wondrous. Dahainu shidut hamarochis. Tfila means rearranging the zodiac, rearranging the heavens, literally. Shehamarochis mechayvim kach, whereby the zodiac, the stars and heavens, dictate such and such a destiny. V'chol koychavu mazol kavu al mishmartoy marochishaloi, and each and every single star, and each and every single constellation of stars, is appointed in its place the way Hashem appointed them there. Sheyu kvuim umusidorim kach v'kach, that they should be set up in such and such a way to determine such and such a destiny for an individual person. V'hu bo b'tfilosoi v'roitze l'shadei damarochis, and this person comes along, and with their tfila, they want to attempt to rearrange the heavens, v'lasois plois, and to pull off miracles, to make wonders, to change the whole geography of heaven. That takes chutzpah. Al kein, therefore, b'shas hatfila tzorich l'salekes habusha. Therefore, Rabbein Azal says, to a certain degree, when a person is davening, they have to be able to remove the embarrassment and the shame from their face. K'moy shekosov, as the pasuk says, b'cho botchu avoyseinu, botchu v'loy boishu. Hashem, in you, our fathers trusted, they trusted in you, they believed in you, which means they prayed to you. Batchu v'loy boishu. They trusted and they weren't ashamed. They weren't embarrassed. K'alidei habusha shemizbayish meito yisporach yefshel espalel. Because if a person is really embarrassed of Hashem, then the person can't speak to Hashem. When you're really embarrassed in front of somebody, you have no words to say. Therefore, in a certain sense, a person has to remove the shame, the embarrassment. It's impossible to daven without azus. And on the other hand, you picture a Jew getting up to speak to Hashem with chutzpah, that person is finished. Now, here again, you have that super fine line where the Gemara speaks about a chazan, that one of the best qualities of a chazan is if he has, what's the word I'm looking for? He's ashamed. Ashamed of the people. Not boishes ponim. What's the word? It's a word for it. It's on it. We'll see if we get it in a minute. But there's a word for this term that a person's supposed to, when a shliach tzibur gets up to daven in front of the shul, he's not supposed to necessarily just break loose totally. In other words, erase all shame and embarrassment and just full azus. But there's supposed to be a certain humbleness. He's supposed to be standing before the people and before Hashem with a certain humbleness, with a certain shyness, kaviyochel. But on the other hand, with shyness alone, you can't talk. Shy people who are over shy, one of the best signs of that is they can't speak. And that's no good either. So we see again this incredibly fine line between a certain type of chutzpah, a certain type of azus, and yet not crossing the line one iota, going to another place where it becomes dirty, disgusting, the worst thing in the world. Rav Nosson Zalman Likutei Halachos also gives a very interesting example of where this comes into play. Rav Nosson Zalman says, take a person who's about to commit a sin. To commit a sin, what does it take? It takes unreal chutzpah. Could you imagine Hashem is in this room? Hashem, who created everything, who created this room, he created you, he created the tray food, and he said, don't eat it. And a person right in front of Hashem's face, because Hashem's face is everywhere, a person gets up the courage, the audacity, the chutzpah to do something against Hashem. That takes incredible chutzpah. And the sin is done with that chutzpah. Now, as soon as the sin is over, the person starts thinking about what they did, and it's time to do tshuva. It's time to repent, time to ask. Suddenly the person becomes shy and bashful. How can I face Hashem based on what I did. There's no way I can come to ask for forgiveness. My sin is too great. All the different tricks that the Satan plays on a person to convince the person that they can't return to Hashem, that there's no way for them to come and ask forgiveness. There's no way for them to think that they could reach any great heights after they committed such a sin. And Rav Nosson Zal says it's literally upside down. Before the sin, when you should have had all that shyness and embarrassment, then it was the opposite. Then the person was a chutzpah yak. They had all the chutzpah nazis to go ahead and do the sin. After the sin, when they're supposed to have the chutzpah and the gutsiness to say, there's no way I'm quitting. There's no way I'm walking away from what am I? I'm gonna give it all up because I did one sin? Or because I did 1 billion sins? I'm gonna say it's all over for me? Chas v'shalom. Azus, chutzpah, I'm coming back. And even if Hashem himself says, get out, the Gemara says not supposed to listen. One of the rabbis of the Gemara committed certain terrible sins where an announcement from heaven came and said, everybody else do tshuva except this person. And the person said, okay, can't get better than that. I certainly legitimately can't do tshuva. Who said so? Hashem. The Gemara says he was wrong. Hashem said, don't do tshuva. In this item, don't listen to Hashem. This is the one case where a person's supposed to have the chutzpah. Kol ma Hashem elcha balabayis haseh, chutz mitzeh. Everything that a balabayis tells you to do, you're obligated to listen, except if the balabayis says, get out. Hashem is the balabayis of everything. When Hashem says, get out, get away from me, when it seems to a person that Hashem is telling that person, I don't want you, then you're not supposed. If you think that's what Hashem is saying, then don't listen to Hashem. Then this is the one case where you're obligated not to listen to Hashem. Again, takes tremendous chutzpah, azus dikdusha. So now Rabbi Nezal says, so therefore tefillah takes azus. And Rabbi Nezal says now, this the tzaddikim who have these tefillahs coming to them, tefillahs of people that are kosher and einam ksherim, by the tzaddik examining those people's azus and their Torah, he's able to know which tefillah came from which person. Because tefillah also takes azus. And Rabbi Nezal says the Torah and the azus is the criteria that the tzaddik uses to be able to identify the tefillahs, which is whose. Interestingly, Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos gives an unbelievable practical proof to this. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, it talks, there's a chapter that deals with the laws of eggs. Which eggs are kosher, which eggs are unkosher, depending on what birds it comes from. Comes from a kosher bird, unkosher bird. And the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, gives certain signs by which you can tell to a degree whether an egg comes from a kosher bird or unkosher bird. One of the signs that's given is that if an egg is round on both sides, or it comes to a point on both sides, it's a sign that it comes from an unkosher bird. Whereas, if an egg is round on one side and comes to a point sort of on the other side, that's a good sign that probably it comes from a kosher bird. It's called kad. Kad in Hebrew means round, chof dalit. Chad means sharp, pointed. In Aramaic, the Aramaic word for tefillah is ba'usa. Tzloisa u ba'usa. Ba'usa means tefillah. So an egg, which is like a beitza. A be'a, miloshin ba'usa. An egg, a tefillah, how do you tell the goodness of the tefillah? By the round and the pointed. The round, kad, chof dalet, represents the Torah. The Torah, the foundation of the Torah, is chof dalet sforim, the 24 books of the Torah. The 5 books of the Chumash, and the 19 books of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That's the kad, the one side that's rounded. Chad, in Hebrew, means sharp. Sharp means azus, chutzpah. When a person has chutzpah, they answer sharply, that kind of term. So Rav Nosson Zal says, how does the tzaddik examine the egg, the tefillah? He examines it through the Torah and the azus. Those are the two ingredients by which he examines the tefillah to know whether the tefillah came from an adam kosher or enoi kosher. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues, v'zeh b'chinas ato hokel oisei fele hoidato v'amem uzecha. You are the Hashem who does wonders and you inform the nations of your strength. Rabbein Azal explains, Shehashem Yisborach oise plo'ois al yidei tfilois Yisrael. What causes wonders? The tfilois of the Jewish people. That's what causes wonders. Wonders means unnatural, where the nature would dictate, destiny would dictate that it was supposed to be this way, and the tefillah changes the destiny, it changes the norm, the nature. Sheheim al yidei bechinas azus, these tefillahs which are through azus. Shayidei zeh moidiyah lehoakum eso azus dikdusha shel Yisrael. When Hashem does wonders, based on the tefillahs of the Jewish people, he informs the nations of the world of the chutzpah of the Jewish people. Look, they have the azus to daven and to pull off miracles, to cause miracles to happen. Through the nations of the world, seeing the wonders that are done in the world through the tefillahs of the Jews, that's how they get to see the great azus dikdusha of the Jewish people. That the Jews have such chutzpah, such strength, to be able to daven and cause miracles, cause wonders. V'al kein, and therefore, ha-tzadik al-idei sheroye ho-azus v'ha-toyro shel kol echad v'echod, the tzadik, by his seeing and analyzing the azus and Torah of each and every Jew, that's how he knows which person's tefillah is messy, is messed up. Because we said that the tefillah is also determined by the azus and the Torah. So by doing that, he knows which tefillah is causing the tzaddik pain, which tefillah is being mevalvel a tzaddik. And that's how the tzaddik knows how to reprimand that person. It's based on the tzaddik being able to examine and observe and understand the Torah and azus of each person, which lets him understand the tefillah of the person, and that's how he knows how to be mechiach the person. Definitely. There are certain cases where a tzaddik will tell somebody not to do something, in which case if the person does it, they're playing with their life, chas v'shalom. A person goes against the words of a tzaddik, it's all over for them, chas v'shalom. And sometimes it could happen in a second. The Gemara uses the wording, hizoharu begachalton shemotikove, watch out for their hot coals. You shouldn't go, a hot coal, how long do you have to put your finger on it for the skin to come off? An eighth of a second? There's no patience. Hot coals aren't patient. They don't wait 10, 15 seconds before they take your skin off. It happens zap, you know. And sometimes, Talmidei Chachamim, Tzadikim are that way. That the person touches them the wrong way, kaboom, there's instant fire. The Gemara says that if you see a Talmud Chacham get angry, don't blame him, because oiraisa hu derosach bei, it's the Torah that burns in him. The Torah is compared to fire. So a tzaddik is a ball of fire in some ways. And sometimes when that fire, chas v'shalom, comes out the wrong way, instantaneous death. The Gemara gives examples. Tzaddikim looked at a person and the person disintegrated. And on the other hand, there are some times that a tzaddik tells a person not to do something, and he's only telling it to the person to make it more difficult for the person, to test the person's sincerity. When it comes to certain things that require sacrifice or extra effort, where a person comes, Rosh Hashanah came to certain Talmidim coming to Rabbein Azal and asking whether they should come for Rosh Hashanah when it involved certain sacrifice. And Rabbein Azal said, no, don't come. And he ordered the person not to come. And then afterwards he explained to his students that this student made a mistake. And in the morning he made a mistake in asking, because this particular item you're not supposed to ask. Because if you ask, the answer will be no. And once you're given an answer of no, you're not allowed to come, even though the real, real truth is that you should have came. So sometimes, on very rare occasions, a person isn't even allowed to ask, because asking shows a lack of azus dikdusha. If you're asking whether you should do it, then you're a baby. You understand? A baby. Can I do it? Should I do this? Whereas if a person really wants it, there's no question. They go diving in head first. And other times, chas v'shalom, when a person dives, they get a bloodied head. Bloodied head and broken arms and feet. So here again is this incredible, delicate item. How does a person know when dealing with tzaddikim what's called azus dikdusha? When a person asks a question 10 times, let's say, and a person says stop. What do you mean stop? Azus dikdusha. I'll ask it 30 times. Or azus dikdusha. If people are I'm davening in shul loud and it's disturbing people. Who cares? Disturbing. Azus dikdusha. Tough. Hashem, scream. I don't care what people say. People are going to make fun. They're not going to insult me. I'm tough as nails. Sometimes that's correct. There are certain very great tzaddikim that by them it's legitimate. And by other people, it's the exact opposite. Where that person isn't on a level to do it in purity. Where when they're doing it, there's a little gaiva mixed in. They enjoy the attention. They want the attention. They want people looking at them, all of that stuff. Where then it could become a super klipa. And this is part of what Sforim, what the Torah teaches a Jew. If a person learns Shulchan Aruch, if a person learns Rabbeinu Zal Sforim, learns Gemara, you read hundreds of examples of what's called Azus Dikdusha, what's called Azus Diklipa. That's a science. It's a major limud that requires a lot of learning, and it requires shimush. It requires watching tzaddikim. You watch a tzaddik to see his tough. Watch him get up in the middle of the night. He goes to sleep at 9 o'clock, gets up 12 o'clock. He's very tired, exhausted, opens his eyes, throws his feet over the side of the bed, and lumbers forward, running, like, to start the activity, start the tikkun chatzos. And you see an azus, you see an unbelievable chut, a toughness to spit. It's night time. Who cares? It's not night, it's day. We just turned on the lights. We turned night into day. A certain incredible toughness and azus, the kedusha, you know, to use for the right thing. Comes to getting up in the morning, going to shul, it's pouring rain outside. Pouring rain, if a person's shy or soft or delicate, I can't go in the rain, I can't go in the snow, I can't go in the ice, I can't go in the bullets, they're shooting bullets outside, how am I going to go to... And there's an azus dikdusha where a person says, rain who? You ever see a soldier in the army walking with an umbrella, holding an umbrella in his hand? Babies hold umbrellas. A soldier holds a cannon, a gun, a knife, he doesn't hold an umbrella. So in other words, certain things...
Miserable.
Excuse me?
A soldier in the rain is miserable.
Sure. But he's tough. But he's tough. He wouldn't be caught dead holding an umbrella.
He hasn't got the cat.
It's like a lollipop, right? Picture a soldier walking with an Uzi and a lollipop. Lahavdil. So I'm saying there's a lot for a Jew to learn. There's a tremendous amount of learning that has to be done in a lot of Sforim and a lot of Shimush in what this limud is. How important is it? Rabbeinu Zal laid it out. He basically said it's impossible to be a successful Jew without it, without Azus Dikdusha. And he also said that Azus the Sitrachra is a one-way ticket to rock bottom, to the lowest place imaginable.
Are there any type of warnings that are given out from the tzaddik that a person should...
Of course.
See, like, okay, I'm going down the wrong way.
Of course.
Stop now.
Of course. And again, these are stories, you read stories of tzaddikim, you see many examples of this. There was one incident when Rav Nosson Zal was first niskarif to Rabbeinu Zal. At one time, Rabbeinu Zal invited him to sit and eat with him. And Rav Nosson Zal was eating, and Rabbeinu Zal made a sarcastic remark about him. And Rav Nosson Zal just continued eating. He ignored it because he felt that, you know, it would be disrespectful for him to get insulted by it. And he continued eating, and Rabbeinu Zal made a second remark, more insulting. And again, Rav Nosson Zal continued. Then Rabbeinu Zal made a third remark, where Rabbeinu Zal said, in other words, like, I mean, stop eating. And then Rav Nosson Zal put the spoon down, and like he understood that what was right to do at that time was to stop. But it's because of all the knowledge of Torah he had and all the midos he had. This is what a person works on every day to develop themselves to a point where they know how to react in different circumstances. They know when it's a time to be tough, when it's a time to be soft. And it's tremendous limud.
Does the necessity of
Tzaddikim
have to be support the idea that wealth is helpful and avodas Hashem because when a person is wealthy?
To a degree, the Gemara makes a statement, or a pasuk, he oshir yane azus, that wealth gives chutzpah. That's number one, and also seichel gives chutzpah. And also fear of Hashem gives chutzpah. All of these things, if you learn Rabbeinu Zal Svarim, Rabbeinu Zal shows you hundreds of things. If a person has true fear of Hashem, he could look a lion in the face and spit in his face. You are tough, you are zero. Hashem is here, what are you? Go hide in the bushes. A person would assume that fear, there's a concept of dying of fright, chas v'shalom, or people that become ill as a result of phobias. So fear weakens. There's a concept of a type of fear that weakens the person and could actually kill the person. And then there's another fear. The Pasuk says, Yiras Hashem toisif yomim. There's a fear that toughens the person, turns the person into steel. Fear of Hashem. When a person has true fear of Hashem, picture somebody making fun of their religion. Those people that died al Kiddush Hashem, people that were burned at the stake, Rahman al-San, for their emun in Hashem. These were true Hashem-fearing people. These were people who had impeccable fear. And that fear gave them the strength to look at thousands of goyim and say, I spit at you, I spit on your fire, I spit on you, I spit on your religion. It's all zero compared to 1 second of Gan Eden that I'm going to have as soon as this is over.
Just a second question. Earlier in this paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal says, it's Pesud, the Talmid HaChamim that have this Ozis Sheker, that it's Pesolus even in the Olam
Hazeh. Their Torah is Pesolus, you know, not just relative to the future. It's Pesolus, period. Number one, it could be relative. Not everything is necessarily black and white. It could be relative to the degree. But this item of Azus, in a negative sense, is considered to be so terrible and so bad that when we see, chas v'shalom, somebody has the wrong kind of Azus, usually we say to keep a distance, not to get close, not to take the good from that person. Usually that's like an indication of keeping a tremendous distance from the person. There are certain things, the Gemara says, that there's four categories, chanufa, sheker, leitzonus, and mesapre loshen hara. These four things, einom royim pnei ha-shechina chas v'shalom. The person who has these things, they can't come within viewing distance of Hashem, meaning that they're kept at a certain distance. There is a concept of a person having this quality, Rahman al-Islam, you know, where it's the worst in certain ways. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zehu Mishra Desakino. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain this chapter in the Gemara, that this Torah Likutimran was based on the debate in the Gemara between Rabbi Shub and Hananya and the Sovid Ve'atuna. They said to him, Mishra Desakina B'mai Kotlislei, if you have a row, a furrow of knives in a field, what do you cut it with? How do you harvest a field of knives? That was their question. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Mishra Desakina Hainu Bechinas Chochmat HaTorah Hanal. This represents the Chochmat HaTorah that we spoke about earlier, Bechinas Malchus Hanal, Shehu Limud Hanal, which is this Limud that we spoke about earlier. A certain limud of tzimtzum, of sechel atachtoin, through which a person is zoche to asoga selukus. Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halacha generally refers to this as emuna. This chochmah tato, this sechel atachtoin, is emuna. Through emuna, a person comes to asoga selukus. Rav Nosson Zal says that the word emuna is roshei tevois, niftechu ha-shamayim, vo'ere marai selikim. When Yecheskel Hanavi was given the privilege of viewing the Merkava, the throne of Hashem, which is an example of Hasoga Selukus, he got it, he achieved it through Emuna. Niftechu Hashemayim Voera Maris Lekim, the first letters make up the word Emuna. And so too in general, a person's Emuna is their foundation upon which, through which they can be zocheh to see Hasoga Selukus. Bechinas ha-haskein hiskanti, loshen limud, kitargumoy ha-melaf alifna. This word, ha-haskein hiskanti, which is used by Bilam and his donkey, that was a statement that was made, where over there the word haskein is miloshen learning. So Rabbi Nizal says, a sakin, a knife, here represents a certain type of limud. Bechinas cherev noikemes shehi bechinas malchus, referring to the avenging sword, which is one of the nicknames of Hashem's sphere of malchus. Dino de malchusa dino. Malchus is called cherev noikemes nekam bris. Roimem oiskel begroinum vecherev bifis biodom. Tfila is called a sword. Tfila is malchus. Tfila is emuna. Now, Mishra. Mishra means a row of these knives. Pirish Rashi, aruga. Hainu bechinas zakas moishel, kamoishekosuv ke'ayol taroi. Rabbi Nizal explained in this chapter on Likutei Moran that when the Malchus of Kedusha falls into the hands of the Ketumah, it screams a terrible scream. The Shechina cries out a terrible scream, and Kavyochel Hashem screams. This word aruga is miloshen ta'aroig. Ta'aroig means to scream. Ka'ayol ta'aroig alafike moim kein nafshi saroig elecho elikim. So aruga means this screaming of the Malchus falling into, that when the Malchus falls into the Klipa, it screams. The question was, b'mai katli lei, how do you cut it? How do you slice away the Malchus of Kedusha from among the Klipois when it fell into the hands of the Klipois? Pirish Rashi, b'mai choit chenoiso, hainu b'mai choit chenu mavdilen es ha-malchus hanal, kedei lahatzilo mizo'oko hanal, b'bechinas chot choy ledalet kanal. We learned earlier about the slicing the dalid, slicing into four. V'heishiv lohem, Rabbi Shimon Chananya responded to them, b'karna dechamra. You do it, you cut a field of knives with the horn of a mule. Hainu al yedei toichocho shal yedei zen izgale hachesed, through reprimand, which we said was a revelation of chesed, uboze koitzren v'choitchenes hadalid. That's how you cut away the dalid, bebechinas kitzru lefi chesed. As we saw in the chapter on the Likutei Moran, you cut, you harvest with kindness. Rabbi Nizal explains now, karno, the horn, zebechinas koil hamoichiach. The word keren refers to the voice of one who reprimands. Bebechinas, as the bechinas keren hashoifer, like the ram's horn. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, horem kashoifer koilech v'haged la'ami pisham. Hashem says to the prophets, lift up your voice like the shoifer and tell my people their sins. Meaning, reprimand, bechinat hainu teichoch hanal, which means reprimand. So we see that reprimand is compared to the keren, to the shofar. That's karna. Chamra, a mule, ze bechinas yisochor chamoyer gorem. The term chamoyer represents shevet yisochor, about which is compared to a chamoyer. Bechinas umibnei Yisochor yoidei bino loitim. The Torah says about Yisochor that they were the ones who knew the soid of Rosh Chodesh. They were the ones who knew the soid ho'ibur. They were the ones who took care of designating the holidays, making Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Rabbi Nizal says shehub ki al yedei toichocho ma'alei noisam l'regolim, because we learned earlier that through toichocho you elevate the malchus out of the hands of the Tumah, and you bring it up to the Oyer Haponim, up to the holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, which represented the Oyer Haponim. Shehu bechinas bino loitim. Umibnei Yisochar yoidei bino loitim. The people of Yisochar had the wisdom for the itim, for the times, which means the moyadim. They were the ones who knew when to designate the holidays. So now the Gemara says, Aisulei trebei. They brought him two eggs. These wise men of Athens brought before Rabbi Yeshua two eggs, loshen tsloisa uba'usa. The egg represents tefillah. The Aramaic word for tefillah is ba'usa, which is the same word as an egg in Aramaic. Bechinas tefillos. Omru, when they asked him, hai dechivra savai duchmasa. Which egg comes from a white chicken? Which egg comes from a black one? Meaning, hainu she'ato oimer shayde toichocho malen samalchus kanal. You're telling us that toichocho is so important because toichocho is what elevates the malchus from out, takes it out of the hands of the klipois. Haloi eichef shaloichiach. How in the world do you reprimand? Ki aloi atfilois boem biachad. To the tzaddik come all the tfilois of the Jews in one shot. How does he know by looking at the tefillah to know which person's tefillah was no good, which one's was good, which tefillah is coming from which person? He doesn't know which tefillah came from a kosher person or the opposite. V'zehu hai dechivra savai duchmasa. This is why they asked which one comes from a white chicken, which one from a black one. Hainu eze tefila meish kosher lehepech. Which tefila comes from a kosher person or the opposite? The Gemara says, Aisilahu treigvini. So he brought them, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, brought them two cheeses. Hainu bechinas v'chagvino takpieni. There's a pasuk that says that you lift me up like cheese. You know, there's a certain concept of kofui v'kal means float, to float like cheese. Takpieni means to float here like. Hainu bechinas tre toirois. He hinted to them this concept of the two different toirois. Shehem bechinas kofui v'kal. Both of them are light, kofui v'kal, bechinas psoiles, bechinas psolecho. We spoke about the two Torahs, the good Torah, which was psol lecho, ha-psoilas yishalcho, which relative to the future, it's called psoilas. And we spoke about the other kind of Torah, psilim, pesel, which is avodah zarah. It's idol. People think it's Torah, and it's really idol worship. V'omar lehu, he said to them, haydi zi chivrasa v'haydi zi uchmasa. If you can tell me which one comes from a white goat, which cheese came from a white goat, which one came from a black goat, I'll tell you which egg came from a white chicken, which one came from a dark. Easy, Rabbeinu Zal says, haynu trei azus hanal. He hinted to them about these two types of azus. Shehen azus digdusha, v'azus desitrachra. Shemehen trei toirois. From these two types of azus come the two types of cheeses. This kofui, this psoilus. Ulefi ho azus yecholen leidas hatfilois kanal. And by the azus of the individual, the tzaddik can tell the tefillah of the individual. That's how the tzaddik knows to reprimand them. That's how you slice away the malchus from mibein haklipois and you elevate it to the and you elevate the malchus to the light, to the level of the Oyer Haponim, which shines specifically on the holidays. We'll hold it over here for now. We have a drop more to do. In the next shiur, hopefully in the first 15 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, we'll complete this title. Coincidentally, this shiur was given by Rabbeinu Zal on Shabbos Chanukah. I hope that next Sunday, either next Sunday or... we'll see related to Hanukkah.
Are we having a
show? It's Hanukkah, right?
Yes.